And find your spot. It's good to see you all here this morning. You're never quite sure on a weekend like this one where it's holiday time and also when we lose an hour of sleep how many will get here. So well done, and we're very glad to see you all with us this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for again being able to just come and gather as your people, as your church. And Lord God, we just want to bless you this morning and give you our praise and our worship to come and bring our hearts, our minds, our time this morning. And I pray that as you are present here with us through your Holy Spirit this morning, that you would be at work, that you would encourage us through your word, that we would be united in fellowship and in prayer, and that as we come and give our worship, our praise through our songs and our prayers this morning, that it would be a pleasing offering to you. So be at work amongst us this morning, I pray, Lord God, and thank you for your presence with us. Amen. Just going to start by reading the words from Psalm 95. I'm sure they're very familiar words to us, but just a beautiful encouragement and a call to worship our God this morning. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. What a beautiful reminder that we are called to be the people of God, and that this is the God that we serve. So I'm going to invite you, we're going to stand and sing together a beautiful hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, giving our hearts in praise and worship to him this morning. So let's stand and sing.
Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise
Amen. Please be seated. It's beautiful, beautiful words. So often it's lovely to go back to things that have been around for a while, that have been thought and prayed over and sung and used by so many generations as an encouragement of who our God is. Now, just a couple of notices this morning. As usual, the focus will be online for those who need it. There was a few printed copies, but please do have a look at that. Notice not in the focus, though. Next Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m., we are hosting here the chaplain's service. I think they do this fairly regularly. And this year that'll be held here at Lighthouse, just a service of dedication for those who serve in our schools, in our community. So if you'd like to come and join in with that, that's at 2 o'clock here for the chaplains. And as we've mentioned a few times, on November 8th, we're hoping to have our annual general meeting for the members. So keep that in mind. There'll be some reports and things coming out soon for that. Everything else, I think, should be in the focus, and you can find those there. Colin, you're going to come and intro the rest of the service.
Up on the screen is the verse from Nehemiah, which was the verse that we started with right about 6 weeks ago, which simply reads, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days, and when all of our enemies heard of it, all of the nations around about were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God." Now, today we're going to take a little bit of a sidestep, still with the thoughts of Nehemiah, but just a little bit different. We're not going to look at a passage, but we're going to look at three situations where we've seen God do something very special, and not only do something special, but where people have been affected by that. My thinking is, we look back to Nehemiah and we think, 2,500 years ago, is God doing anything still today? So today I thought we just look at some miraculous things, or I think they're miraculous things that God is still doing. So that's where we're going today. Three situations, and the first is Matt Raglis. Thanks, Matt. Now, some of you were here when Matt was baptised and heard something of his story, but I think this is the most wonderful story because I've never had it happen to me before. I was standing at the church door a couple of years ago, and Matt and his wife and Alexander came in, and I said, "Oh, hi, I haven't met you before." "No." "Oh, do you live in the area?" "Yes." "Do you normally go to another church?" "No." So I'm thinking, what's the next question that I ask? And so he then said, "I became a Christian this week, isn't that wonderful?" "I'm not even involved. What's going on?" So I thought, that's a miraculous story that is good for us to hear, because God is still involved in converting people. So, Matt, how long ago did that actually happen?
Okay, so it was on the 2nd of October 2017 is the date where I felt I was saved. Now, obviously, we were saved before the foundations of the world, but in terms of that actual experience, the 2nd of October.
I'm just trying to get this right for you. Right, so what actually happened? Like, did something fall from heaven, or what actually happened?
Okay, so I'll try and keep this short, but in the year prior, there were a number of events. So in terms of my context, I guess, for many years I abused anabolic steroids. I took a number of illegal substances, so drugs. I was getting into the alcohol, and towards the end there, I was taking codeine. So I was abusing these things for some years. And then in the last year before my conversion, I was getting very sick. Things weren't going too well at work. I was actually a team leader working, ironically, as a mental health therapist. But things were going downhill quite quickly, and it all got to a head just before the 2nd of October 2017, where I actually started getting really sick. My body felt like it was on fire. I didn't really know what was going on. And my wife, Alice, actually went away for a nephew's birthday party, and I was quite sick and obviously didn't go. So I was at home, really desperate, really worried, because at that stage, codeine was about to go into prescription. And so I was freaking out. I'm like, what drugs am I going to be able to take? I'm not going to have my codeine. I was worried. I was thinking heroin. These were the things that were going through my mind. I was really scared. And in that sickness, in that desperation, I, for some reason, awkwardly cried out to the Lord. And I prayed a very awkward prayer and asked him, I need you to save me. I'm desperate. I'm dying. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please save me. And that night, I ended up... Well, first I called an ambulance because I was feeling very horrid. The ambulance came, assessed me and said, I think we need to take you to hospital. And I said, nah, I don't have time for that. So I decided to stay. But later on, I came to my senses and I admitted myself to hospital. And I found out that I had something called hyponatremia. So as a result of all the drugs, all the bodybuilding that I did, all the food that I was eating, all the stress that I was under, my body was actually dehydrated to the point that in 48 hours I would have gone into a coma. So I was basically dehydrated. I was consuming over 10 litres of fluid a day, but I was dehydrated because all my electrolytes were being flushed out. So that's why my skin was burning. But the point with that is 2 days after I was admitted from hospital, I walked out of there and I felt a peace and serenity that I'd not felt before. And most importantly, I had a different attitude towards sin. And my heart was faced towards the Lord through the Holy Spirit. So that's the experience.
Incredible. So we sit next to people in church and we don't really know what they've been through. We don't really know what their story is. Except we know that if we're here, hopefully we know Jesus in a very real way. So that's a little bit of Matt's story. So if you want to know more of Matt's story, that... come and ask him. But that's great, Matt. And I want to say that to me is the first miracle that we see. Yes, not 2,500 years ago with the building of the wall, but 2 or 3 years ago with the working of God in a person's life. How wonderful. Thank you, Matt. Now, we're going to stay seated and sing a lovely song, and then Matt is going to lead us in communion. I just want to warn you today that one of the ladies has come up with a new idea for communion. We've got the glass and we've got the little paper cup with the bread in it sitting on top, so you only get one thing. We're going to see if that works better. So we're going to sing and then Matt's going to lead us in communion this morning.
So let's sing together, be still. For the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here and is working.
Be still, for the presence of the Lord. Thank you.
Good morning again. Thank you for the privilege of leading the Lord's Supper today. Now, if you haven't worked out already, I have an irrational fear of public speaking, hence why my wife's here, literally holding my hand through this. Within a few minutes, I should be fine. So please bear with me. Now, I don't have any fancy stories or words to share with you this morning, but this is not about me, and we are certainly not here to be entertained. We are here to worship and remember God and Christ our Lord through the Holy Spirit. So the Lord's Supper, also known as communion, what is it? I'm sure you know everything about it, but let's explore a few points about it this morning. And as I do this, I also want to acknowledge that I've drawn from other great minds in putting this together. The Lord's Supper is an important part of Christian worship. It was instituted by Christ our Lord 2,000 plus years ago during the celebration of the Passover and the eve of his death. In Luke, we read, during the Last Supper, a Passover celebration, Jesus took a loaf of bread and gave thanks to God as he broke it and gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body given to you. Thanks, bro. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Matthew also adds, "This is my blood of a covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And he goes on to say that Jesus concluded the feast, obviously, by singing a hymn. And we know that Judas ended up betraying him and he was crucified on the cross. The Apostle Paul also wrote, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as we can see, during the Lord's Supper, we as the church consume the bread and drink the wine in remembrance of what Christ has done for us sinners. Now, remembering Christ's work is important here. Jesus declared again that this bread spoke of his body, which would be broken. And we know, as the scriptures tell us, that his body was tortured to the point that it was barely recognizable. And the wine spoke of his blood, pointing to the horrid death he would soon experience. In this, Christ, the perfect Son of God, became the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies concerning a Redeemer. He is the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world and established a new covenant and inaugurated the kingdom of God. Let us not forget this. In this we find nourishment, we find joy, and we find hope in Christ. Now, just another point to note, we also need to be aware of our posture as we come into communion. As the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats with the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." What does Paul mean when he says don't partake in the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? It may mean to avoid disregarding the true meaning of the supper. Perhaps Paul's talking about do not dismiss the price our Saviour paid for our salvation. Perhaps it is a warning against making the Lord's Supper a dead ritual. Or maybe Paul is warning the church not to come to the Lord's Supper with unconfessed sin. Either way, folks, this is serious business. Now, we as fallen sinners are not perfect, and chances are that we will fall short of this regularly. But by God's grace, let's, in keeping with Paul's instruction, examine ourselves before taking the elements. So to sum this up, as Christ commands, let us partake in the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what Jesus did for us on that cross. The bread we are about to take represents Jesus' broken body, while the wine we are about to drink symbolizes the blood that he shed on our behalf and the new covenant he established. Give thanks to God and praise our Lord for what we receive as a result of his sacrifice. But as we do this, again, let's examine ourselves, for the Lord's Supper is a privilege to be taken seriously in humility, reverence, and fear of the Lord our God. So let's praise God that we can do this regularly as we look forward to his glorious return. So in conclusion, I'm just going to leave you with a quote from John Piper, who I think really sums this up. "The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to receive from Christ the nourishment and strength and hope that comes from feasting ourselves on all that he purchased for us on the cross, especially his own fellowship." Praise God. So in a minute, I'm going to pray into the supper. After prayer, can the helpers please then distribute the elements, And I believe that in accordance with COVID protocols, they are to hand you the elements and we are to receive them. And then after you receive both the bread and the wine, please take and consume them and reflect accordingly. Then after a few minutes, I'll close in prayer. So to pray into communion, let's do it. Dear Father God, thank you for allowing us the privilege to participate in this supper established by you, our Lord. Lord, you suffered greatly for us sinners. Out of love and mercy, you saved us through the work of your Son, the Lamb of God, saving us from the wrath that we deserve. We sit here and take the elements and reflect. And as we do this, please, through your Holy Spirit, focus our hearts on you and what you did at Calvary on that cross. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Could the helpers please? Thank you. Let's pray in closing. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. Thank you for commanding us to participate in the Lord's Supper. You used two of the frailest elements as symbols of your body and blood and established them as a monument to your death. It wasn't a monument carved of marble, molded brass, but out of bread and wine. Wow, Lord. Let us not forget the privilege we have of participating in this supper and the fact that it was instituted by you. And I pray, Lord, that we, by your Spirit in Christ, continue to walk in obedience to you, living in a way that glorifies you. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Right now, any children who'd like to, you're welcome to come down the front. G'day. Can we have just those lights off, please? I think it may be over here. Now, I want to tell you another story. I want to tell you a story today about a lady who I knew. She's since died, but she painted pictures, and this was one of the pictures that she painted. She was an Aboriginal lady from Alice Springs. Has anyone been to Alice Springs? No? No. Right, who's been to Alice Springs? Oh, right, so a number of people. Good, thank you. A lot of people. Well, she painted in a very special way. And if I show you this, you can see that she painted with lots and lots and lots of dots. And you might have painted with lots and lots and lots of dots too. But she did something special that no one else does. And can you see there's dots? And then on top of the dot, there's another dot. And that's what she did. Now, her name was Rachel. Her Aboriginal name was Napaljari. But everyone knew, oh, that's one of Rachel's paintings because she did a dot on a dot. And that's how she painted. But there are special things that in Aboriginal painting are special. And up on there you can see it. Those people who are sitting close enough can see up there. But if you've got something like a horseshoe, like that, and you can see some horseshoes up there or on here, they're people. They're people. All right? So if you see a painting that's got like a horseshoe, that's a person. That's how Aboriginal people paint. That's a special person. You can have a closer look at this afterwards, but don't touch it. Just have a look, all right? So, here are some horseshoes. Now, this lady was a very nasty lady at one stage in her life. And right through the middle of Alice Springs, there's a river that very seldom has any water. It's just like a sand. She didn't have anywhere to live, and she lived in the riverbed. That's where she slept. She spent all of her money on beer. And she was quite a nasty lady. And then, guess what happened? What do you think might have happened that changed her? What happened that made her a different person? She understood about Jesus. And all of a sudden, instead of being a horrible lady, she became a very kind lady, and people began to say, that little Jerry's changed. She's a different person. Yes. I wonder what's happened. What had happened was she'd understood about Jesus and how much he loved her, and she changed. So instead of spending all of her money drinking on alcohol and being nasty, she started telling people about Jesus. And one of the amazing things was she became a leader in the church in Alice Springs, and she started painting pictures about God. Now, this is an interesting picture about God, because, whoops, see this big thing here? That means God. So, and all of these people here, the little horseshoe people, they're people who love God. They come under God. And she's got there some dark brown, they're Aboriginal people. Some white, they're people like us with white skin. There's some brown, that's a mixture. That might be a mum who's Aboriginal and a dad who's a white person, or a mixture. And then there are some tan people. They're other people in the world. Now, see all of these little lines going across here? All those little lines going across there. Well, they're friends. And just here is what we've just done now, had communion. That's bread and that's wine. All right? So when you look at this, it tells a story. But can you tell me something else about some of those horseshoes that are people? Can you see where all these people are looking? Yeah, Alexander, you might have something going on in your brain that helps. They're all looking in at God. What about these people down here? Can you see what they're doing? What are they doing? What are these people doing? They're looking around. So these people are all under the love of God, and they're all part of going on having communion. These people have said, I don't want anything to do with God, and they've turned around. See them here? They've turned around, turned their back on God. And these people are just sort of halfway. They're still listening. They're not part of this group. They haven't turned right around. They're just halfway around. Now, when we look at a picture like that, if we didn't know that story, we'd think, oh, it's a bit funny. All of these dots and a few horseshoes and some different colour splotches and all. But Napple Jarry, or Rachel, she would paint pictures to tell people about God. And sometimes we open our Bible and we read a story about Jesus and we think, isn't that lovely? But an Aboriginal person who mightn't be able to read, they would say, how do we learn about God? So she would paint pictures, not always like that, but other pictures, sometimes with a cross and other things, to help people understand about Jesus. Now, we heard about your dad, Alexander. saying about how he came to love Jesus. And this is how this lady, Rachel Knapple-Jarry, she came to love Jesus. She'd been a horrible lady. She didn't have any money. She lived in the river. Boom! Well, she lived in the river bed, not in the water, in the river bed. And then one day she came to understand about Jesus and she was a different person. So I guess what we would love here in the church is that when children go out and learn about Jesus, that in our hearts and in our heads, we come to love Jesus too, because he loves us, doesn't he? All the time. He loves us, Elise, is that right? Yes, good. He loves us and looks after us. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you. Thank you for wonderful stories about the things that Jesus does in people's lives and how he cares for people. And we pray for our children today that as they learn a little bit more about Jesus, build a bit more of the wall, think a little bit more about Nehemiah, that they would also understand about your great love for each one of them. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And I think, is that right, Ian? Yes, there's things at the back, but Ian, I think, has got something special for you to do. All right? Yep. Yes, thank you. See you later. Yep, see you later. Right. Thank you. Now, we've got a couple of special things. Today we're missing a number of the young guys in our church who are away at Gents Camp. Over 100 young men are away at the camp just learning some Christian stuff, and they'll all come back gentlemen, which will be good to see. Yes, so we're going to pray for them. We're also going to pray for next week for the chaplains as they meet and we have a special service. But if you've got something special that you'd like prayer for, just stand in your spot and I'll ask you to tell me if there's something and we'll pray about that. So just stand if there's something on your heart that you'd like prayer for or someone you would like prayer for. No, everything's wonderful. No? Joy, what about your sister?
I pray for Victoria's arm.
Yep.
Victoria has a line in the I pray for Victoria.
Oh, Victoria's a person, not a state, righto. Yes, righto, righto. An arm in plaster. I thought you meant it was the virus. Right. Joy, what's your sister's name? Yes. Which is the sick one, or who is the sick one? Both of them. Yeah. Who's that? Mary. Muriel. Mm-hmm. And Chris? Righto, fine. We all heard last week, or you all heard last week, about Ted and Alex. No, I wasn't here last week, that's right. Ted and Alex and their situation. We're well aware of the virus. And the church we're in last week up at Alice Springs Baptist, they just have a candle. And at a special time in the service, they just light that candle and pray for the COVID situation around the world, which seemed to be quite an interesting concept. Right, is there anything else? Well, let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we are so grateful that there are groups that operate camps and weekends like Gents Camp, and we pray for that camp right now. We're not sure what's happened this morning. Probably a special informal type of church service, but we pray for those young men there that the Spirit of the living God would touch their lives. And just as we hear of the change in Matt's life, we know of the change in Knapple-Jarry's life, We pray that some of those young men would have changes in their lives that bring them to Jesus or enrich their Christian life, particularly any who might be struggling. So make leaders sensitive, open hearts and minds to the living God, we pray. We pray for the pastoral care workers, chaplains in schools in our area. And Father, we ask for them as they gather next Sunday afternoon that there might be a great sense, not only of your presence, but of the support of the local churches as they gather to pray and to sing, to give thanks and to listen to some of those stories. But we realise that school life is not easy. We realise dealing with some of the issues in schools, very hard. So our prayer this morning is that you would give new strength during this holiday period to those pastoral care workers, that you would open up hearts and minds in that area. We think of what Janet has asked for Victoria, and for the situation of being in plaster and needing healing. So we pray that you would help in that whole area and bring healing, we ask. We think of the situation with Joy's sister Muriel, Chris's mum, and how sad and demanding that is. And we pray, Lord, that Muriel would have a great sense of peace, whatever state she's in, conscious or unaware. And be with Joy as she offers to Chris comfort and counsel, and give to Chris an understanding of your great love at this time. Father, we pray for Ted and Alex, a lovely part of our fellowship, and we know that the loss of a baby is a sad thing. So as they grieve and work through that, we thank you for the encouragement of other people. We thank you for your love and care. We thank you for their Christian faith and their trust in you, and how you not only prepared them, but also have enabled them through this situation. We bring them before you. And Father, we now ask for situation in the world which is so up and down with the COVID. We now hear of the situation with Donald Trump. Whatever we think of his politics and his attitude, we just don't know what's going on there. And yet we're aware that you are aware of what's happening. And we get mixed attitudes, mixed responses, mixed comments. Father, in this world that is so turned around, we come to you again, and we are assured that you are the living God, the one who is in charge. We trust you, we reaffirm our faith in you. And Father, in the midst of all that's going on in each of our lives, we ask that you would be the guide, you would be the strength. Comfort us, counsel us, be with us, we pray. For Father, we are confused, we are uncertain, we just don't know sometimes the next step. So Father, we come before you and entrust our lives to you yet again, and those we love, particularly those in other states who are on our hearts, people we would have loved to have visited, but we can't. Those who would have loved to have come to us, but are not able. Lord, we bring them before you. And as we're seeing the way you work in miraculous ways in people's lives, we have people on our hearts. People who are not where they should be spiritually. People we would love to see come to Jesus. And Lord, just as Matt was challenged, just as Rachel was challenged, may some of our loved ones, friends, neighbours, workmates be challenged by the power of Jesus and come to know him. So Lord, as your church, we bring our prayers before you, because you are God, not with the wisdom of our words, but with the power of the God to whom we come. And we pray through Jesus. Amen. Now going to sing our next song, which is I Will Offer Up.
Yes, we'll stay seated as we sing this song, which is also a bit of a prayer, offering ourselves to our Lord God.
There are a couple of pictures, but we'll look at those at the end, if that's all right, please, Jamie. Thank you. This is the third story of God's miracle. As some of you may remember, in the church newsletter in Focus last year, I had some requests for prayer for a little girl from Alice Springs who'd been flown down by the flying doctor. Some of you might be aware that we've got family in Alice Springs, daughter, son-in-law and a couple of grandchildren, and that's where we've just been. So we've had a number of years of association with Aboriginal people, and often we get a phone call, could we go and visit someone in hospital? They haven't got anyone, they don't know anyone, and so we'll follow that through. Last year we had a phone call. A little girl had been flown down by the flying doctor, and was it possible for me to go and visit the family? She was 13, 14 months old. So in I went into ICU at the Women and Children's, not knowing what I would find. And there in ICU was this little child, bandaged up, tubes coming out everywhere. In the same room was her mum and her dad, and the five-year-old brother who was in a wheelchair and he was being fed with a tube. So this was the family situation. I just sat in the corner waiting to see and whatever after I'd introduced myself. There was a specialist looking at this little girl called Kaylee, and he said to me, "Oh, who are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a Baptist minister." So he said, "Before you go, I want to see you in my office." Right. So off I went to his office before I left, and he said, "This little girl has got sepsis." And what I learned was that she'd been to the doctor in Alice Springs. He'd said, "She's got a cold. Give her some Panadol," which the family had done. But fortunately, they had actually gone to the hospital with the little brother in the wheelchair, and the little girl had collapsed at the hospital. And they realised, from records, that she had sepsis group A, multiple organ failure, and an infarction in the brain, which is a blood stoppage. Is that right, Peter? Anyhow, it was serious, is what I understood, and she was there. And this specialist said to me, "This little girl is here to die," which she will die in the next few days. Right. Then he said, "However, if she does live, she won't see, she won't hear, she won't be able to eat or walk or talk, and she will have to be tube fed." Right, they've already got one little kid like that. So what do I say to that? Well, I just said, "I'm not going to work against you. All I will do is pray that God will do whatever he does or wants to do in the life of this little girl whose name is Kaylee." Now, I visited regularly and talked and prayed with the parents. Sometimes I would go and they'd be out shopping and I'd just sit with Kaylee. She's still all bandaged up at this stage. And then they moved her into a room. And at this stage, they'd taken off bandages and her eyes were there, but they weren't obviously seeing. And they had, at one end, they had a Bible open. At the other end, they had a picture of Jesus holding a little lamb. And in her little dark hand, they had a gorgeous little wooden carved cross. They weren't way out in terms of religious stuff. They were just lovely, godly parents. And they would just say, "Colin, we'll just see what God will do. But we keep praying." Now, there was very little response, except her father, whose name was Clarence, would often be sitting with her, just talking to her in language, the Indigenous language, which was their language. One day I went in and they said, "Oh, we want a Bible." And I said, "You've got a Bible. The chaplain's given you a Bible. Here, there's a Bible there." "No, no. We want old one, proper one, like Grandma." And so I came back here and we found a King James and I took it in. And, "Oh, yes, that's what they wanted. Proper one like Grandma. A King James one. Yes, that's what we needed." So that was that. Now, the amazing thing was that one of her legs, her right leg, started to go black. And the doctor said, "We are probably going to have to amputate that leg." Oh, righto. So we'll wait and see. I took notes in my little book. And the tissue in her leg apparently was dead or whatever. So they said in 2 weeks, if nothing happens in 2 weeks, we'll have to take off her leg. In that time, she had some tummy trouble and they were a bit worried about that. Then, when it came time, they said to the family, not her leg, but just her foot. Well, they took her off to the theatre But when they looked at the foot, they didn't. They only had to take off a little bit of skin from the end of her toes, and only two of those toes. So that was amazing. So back she came, and the next time I went to see her, she was sitting, sucking on a rusk, you know, one of those children's rusks. And that was that. It continued on, and I wondered what had happened. But she went back to Alice Springs, and the phone numbers that I'd been given never answered. It was always out of credit or out of range or something. However, they had her sitting up in like a triangular sort of seat that gave her some support, and she was moving her arms and legs a bit. Well, on Wednesday, just this last Wednesday, I organised to catch up with them and to see what had happened. Can we have those slides, please? Right. Now, it might be hard to see because it was a bit difficult and I'm not the most wonderful on taking photos. But this is Kaylee now. She's going to be 3 in April. So she's 2.5 basically. This is her. She came into the waiting room and yes, she walks with a bit of a funny walk, but that's all right. She, according to her mother, she eats, drinks, talks, sees, hears. Amazing. I had my hat and sunglasses on a seat next to me, and about 3 times during that time, she would come over and try to put it on my head. So I thought, well, there's something working in the brain. There's something working in the brain. That's her and that's her mum. Her mum's name's Renita. So for those of you who remember, for those of you who prayed, I mean, you can see that we're not necessarily 100%, but a lovely, lovely Christian couple who love their little girl and, not theologians, but just people who trusted God. Why do I tell that story? Because, again, 2,500 years ago, Nehemiah, yep, fine. Wednesday, this for me was a miracle. And for some of you who have prayed, and actually one of the ladies at Brighton Light said to me, what happened to that little girl? Because I'd shared a bit of her story in a devotion at Brighton Light. So I'll be delighted to tell that story, that here we have a little girl who was brought down to Adelaide to die a year ago, who is now alive and walking around, a delightful couple. At the hospital in Alice Springs, there's a lady who negotiates, as it were, specialists who go up to Alice, who go up there perhaps for a week and see a number of people. And she knew that I had visited this little girl. So when I went in on Wednesday, she said to me, are you the man who was visiting Kaylee? And I said, yeah, I was. She said, we didn't get it right, did we? And I said, no. And she said, I just have to say, medicine hasn't got all the answers. Now, that's not to work against medicine. I don't mean that at all. But I do mean, friends, that we have a God who does miraculous things. And sometimes we've missed that. Now, I know from stories you've told me, and I know in our family, we've got situations that we would like God to have done something with in the past. And we've got a situation at the moment, a health situation with a grandchild, that we wouldn't mind if he did something now. But at this point in time, things haven't moved. So friends, I want to say, please, please take heart. We have seen, as we've looked through Nehemiah, the task, the job. But we've also seen the opposition, the discouragement. We've also seen the challenge to people's faith. So what does Nehemiah teach us? What do these stories teach us? God is at work in a powerful way. And we are people who believe in the God. It's no good singing some of these songs about the miraculous power of God if we don't believe it. Now, it doesn't mean that God is going to do exactly what we want every time we ask. But it does mean, friends, that we are asked to exercise faith in God for what he might do. We've heard from Matthew the story of Napeljari and the story of Kaylee. To me, they are three wonderful, miraculous stories of God at work. And God wants to work in our lives. So let's be open to let him do something that's just very special. Now, if you took in the verse that we had up at the start, it was that the people around said, God has been at work. Something incredible has happened and God has been at work. And isn't that what we want to happen in our lives? Don't we want people to say, God is at work, God is doing something in the life of that person or in that circumstance? That's why we're here, to let people know, actually, God is still at work and God is doing wonderful things. So may he do wonderful things in our lives. They mightn't be spectacular as far as the world is concerned, but spectacular a miracle in our lives. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for what we have been reminded of this morning, that you are a God who is at work in the lives of people and in your world. Give us the freedom and the bigness of mind and heart to allow you to do what you want to do in our lives. Father, sometimes we limit you to a matchbox. We limit you down so far that for you to do something wonderful is almost prohibited in our lives. But may we open ourselves and allow you to do what you want to do in order that we might be blown away and that those around about us might see the action of the living God. We pray this through Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. I was thinking it's always so important that we do remember, just as we've been reminded in our communion time, but also with what Colin's been sharing today, just about remembering what has been done and what God is doing. So as we finish our corporate worship time together this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we're going to sing again a beautiful old hymn that was written in a time of distress and of trauma and drama, and yet this man was still able to say, in the midst of all of that, "It is well with my soul," which is the most beautiful gift that God has given to us, that we can say that and stand in all that he has done for us. So let's stand together and sing, "It is well with my soul."
Thank you.
wonderful declaration that is. Thank you, Jesus, that because of you, we can say that. Thank you, Lord God. We just want to come with thankful hearts this morning that we can make that statement. It is well with my soul. And Father, that we can trust in you for all the rest of it, for everything else that's happening in our lives, in our world, in our relationships, in our bodies. That you have all of those things in hand, and that as your children we can come before you and say, thank you, Lord God, it is well with my soul. So, Father, I pray that we would just be mindful of that and remember that and think on that and be thankful for that in these coming days and weeks, and that our lives would reflect that truth as we go out. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us, for your Holy Spirit at work in us, for your redeeming grace. Amen. So I'd encourage you, if there's something that's challenged you today or that has touched you, find someone, share it with them, ask someone to pray for you. But yeah, hang on to those things as you go.